for America.
There is a problem in the Middle East. Mad Islamists.
We're close today to 2,000 rockets have been fired from Gaza on our cities.
Utter just destruction. Everything's been destroyed. I'm just overwhelmed.
Fighting for Idaho.
Harry Reid lives in the Ritz-Carlton in Washington, D.C. And I'm sure from his perspective, the border seems secure. President Obama and Harry Reid, both divorced from the facts and divorced from the reality.
Fighting for you.
Here we have a few members of the establishment who are trying to say, we know what you did at the convention, but forget that. Go enjoy your beer, ride your ATV, and watch sports. We'll run the country.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Remember who your friends are.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Oh, it's always a pleasure to have our great friend Phil Hardy with us from Strategies 360 to talk about all things political. And Phil is really, how should I put this? Phil is living proof that this is definitely not agreement radio. So good to have you with us.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Well, the World Cup's over, thankfully.
Soccer's never over, man. The MLS season just started.
Yeah, but does anybody follow it besides those folks in Seattle and Portland?
You know what? That's not true. Kansas City gets great ratings. The ratings for MLS soccer on ESPN have routinely been beating what TBS gets for baseball.
Yeah, but baseball's dying anyway. And there's more baseball games on than MLS games. By the way, Kansas City goes back to, what was it, the Kansas City Comets of the Indoor Soccer League? Many years ago. It's been a cult-like following in Kansas City for quite some time.
Lamar Hunt, I think he was a big supporter of it, and I think he was based in Kansas City, wasn't he?
Yeah, the owner of the Chiefs. The Lamar Hunt Trophy, if you win the AFC.
I think it's the Lamar Hunt Trophy in soccer, too.
I see. All right, let's get to some things real and relevant. You wanted to talk about foreign policy first, and I want to talk about the state body politics. So why don't you talk about your
No, I want to talk about state body politics.
Well, before we get to that, though, you made a good point.
Yeah.
And by the way, we always encourage people to call in at 580-5436. Tell us about your thoughts if John McCain had been president. What you told us off the air?
Well, we'd be bombing somebody right now. we'd always be bombing somebody if John McCain was president. Yeah, I think we'd be taking out some missile batteries in eastern Ukraine and maybe even western Russia.
Do you think, though, that if John McCain were president, and this kind of goes to the heart of things, that if John McCain would have drew a red line in Syria, assuming that McCain would have been reelected, that people would have listened, because obviously McCain would have followed up as opposed to the ever-evolving red line with the president.
It's a really actually interesting argument, because we did nothing in Syria. We let everything happen. You know, Putin got the overhand there as much as he wanted. So he probably started thinking, hey, I'm getting away with what I'm doing over here. No one's going to stop me from taking over the Crimea and then maybe even having a little excursion into the Ukraine. It really actually is an argument worth having. However, with John McCain, you just never know when he's going to stop dropping bombs.
Well, in addition to that, of course, the other big issue has to deal with the border. And I have to tell you, this clip is something we should be playing all day long.
I ask you, how secure is the border when a 12-year-old kid with about 50,000 other 12-year-old kids across the border? That's a secure border.
Yeah, it's obviously true.
On the other hand, if John McCain were president, we'd probably have less border security.
I think that he probably would have tried to have figured something out by now and implemented it, and then the chips would fall where they may.
Well, you've worked on this issue when you were involved in Congress. So how hypocritical is it that we have both political parties saying we need immigration reform? And again, you come at this issue differently than I do. So we need immigration reform, and as soon as we get it, then we'll secure the border. And the Republicans say, no, secure the border first. We don't need new legislation to enforce the existing laws that we have.
No, that's true, and I agree with that statement. I think that we do have to secure the borders before we do anything else. But the problem is once we secure the borders, we're still going to have 10 or 11 million illegals in the country, and it's unrealistic to ask them all to leave.
All right, much more with Phil Hardy. We go to Pro-Life, who's been very patient. Pro-Life, you're at 580 KIDO.
Yeah, hey, well, anyway, The borders are not secure. Nothing is right, and everything's upside down, and it's all because of individual responsibility. You know, I see all these kind of Tea Party kind of people. They want to educate each other, but they will not run against a rhino. I see them. They will. They could be write-in candidates right now, so they could vote for themselves. They wouldn't have to vote for a rhino. Everything is individual responsibility, and the churches are not taking any responsibility whatsoever. So I think that we're in big trouble. And so I just wanted to say that.
Well, what's your solution?
My solution is that every individual has to become an activist. They need to go out in the streets, hold signs, run for office, and really get with it.
Well, let me hit you with this. We had people over the weekend saying, say no to the illegals. How effective were they?
Well, probably not, because the politicians are not going to do a thing about it. So they have to oppose the politicians. I think that every incumbent should get thrown out. Every darn one of them.
Well, you are running for governor, though.
Yeah.
You should disclose that.
Well, I don't mind disclosing that. And my chances of winning are not very good because, you know, people are asleep. They don't want to take any individual responsibility.
They just want to watch soccer.
Yeah, or maybe they want to listen to Kevin Miller, but...
Let's hope more of them do.
Well, we hope that everybody does, but...
Yes.
You're doing as good as you can under the conditions, and God bless you.
God bless you, pro-life. Thank you. You know, you need to be more like pro-life.
You know, the reality is he's actually right in the sense that neither side really wants to see a solution. There's too many people entrenched on the far sides who don't want to take responsibility for making this decision.
What do you mean?
Well, you've got the Steve Kings. You've got the
I think Steve King has it right.
You've got the Hulsbanks in Kansas, you know, that don't want to do anything, you know?
No. They want the border enforced. They want the laws enforced. If you speed, you get a speeding ticket, right?
Well, I think that most people on the Republican side want to see the
border. Oh, I don't
borders.
Think so.
I do. And I think
I
there's
think
a lot of...
I think they've sold us out.
There's a lot of Democrats on
John
the
Boehner?
States.
John Boehner cares?
I think he cares
he
about
He wants immigration reform.
Border.
How can anybody... allow these folks to come into this country, considering that Americans are out of work.
Kevin, I think it's two separate issues here. Securing the border has nothing to do with immigration reform. It's just securing the border so that no further illegals can get in.
It has everything to do with immigration reform. You cannot reward people for breaking the law.
And I completely agree with you, but if we have a secure border, that's something of a matter of national security.
Then why don't we do it and stop the 12-year-olds from coming over?
Well, there are certain people who think the border is secure, and it's quite obviously not secure now.
Well, we've got the head anchor from Univision swimming across the Rio Grande. How secure is that?
You know, that could have been deleterious to his health. That is not the most clean river.
There you have it, your daily health update with Phil Hardy here at 580 KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Of course, our statement of the day has to be this from Chris Troupas.
Go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country.
I think that's an issue we're all fighting right now. People have checked out because the bad news is just so overwhelming.
You know, I think that comment from Chris Troupas, I guess it's good radio, but I don't think it's something
that's good radio. It's true.
I don't think it's something that most attorneys would agree with. I think that he's sort of just pandering.
Pandering?
In this, yeah, I do. You know,
how can you say pandering, Phil Hardy, when people are not voting, when people are not engaged, when they shoot down a plane and people are going, well, as long as there's gas in the four-wheeler, I'm good to go. And, hey, hopefully Southwest will be secure.
That is actually incredible, even a leap by your own standards, Kevin. These issues are not related. If we want to talk about state politics, that's one thing. If we want to talk about shooting down a jet airliner.
Well, that's what we're talking about. People have checked out of national and international issues, the border crisis, and everything else, Phil.
Well, I think it's a pity that the president has really just been pretty wishy-washy on this
He's
entire
shooting
issue.
Pool.
Well,
he's shooting pool and going to fundraisers.
Yeah, well, that's probably all he can get away with doing these days.
Why didn't he go to the border?
And I think that's a disgrace. It's a disgrace that he didn't go down there to see for himself what
right.
was going on.
But as someone who's worked at the highest levels of politics, both in the state and nationally, take off your partisan hat for a minute here, Phil Hardy, and tell me what would be the rationale for the president not going to the border. What did his advisors tell him? Hey, President Obama, don't go down there, even though many of his critics say he's the one that created the crisis.
He doesn't want a photograph of himself standing around a bunch of little kids in a porous border. It's a bad photo op for him, and he is a guy who lives by the good photo op. It's his Katrina moment. There's no doubt about that. He didn't have the courage. He's cowardly, you know, and I don't really like disparaging the president. You know, it's because it's the office that I respect. But he's cowardly. He runs away from the more difficult issues, and he never misses an opportunity to hyper-partisan almost any single event that's happening. He's a blame game guy. He doesn't take responsibility. It's really discouraging, especially when there are some very serious matters that need to be attended to in the country.
Let's talk about state politics here. We had the exclusive interview with Chris Troupas. We had the exclusive interview with Barry Peterson. They are seeking an injunction against this August 2nd meeting. You've been on the periphery. You've been looking at both sides of this issue. What are your thoughts?
I was more than on the periphery. I was one of the aided county delegates to the convention.
Did you get the boot?
Well,
did they keep you?
We didn't actually get
Did they keep you?
No, you got
the boot too?
They didn't get a chance to actually vote on
so
the
you have
county
a, you have a bias.
Of course I have a bias on this issue.
Oh, well, you need to disclose that. That's
I disclose
all.
My bias. Oh. You know, they needed an injunction before the August 2nd meeting, because if the August 2nd meeting happens, it's just completely over. You know, the results. And by the way, Barry Peterson is free to run in the election on August 2nd by, you know, lobbying those state central committee people.
But people argue, Phil, that meeting, they have no authority to do it. That's why they went to the judge.
Well, the governing party in this, well, of course, we'll see if the judge was willing to hear the case. And by the way, that was a question I had wished you had asked Chris Troupas last week. If the judge refuses to hear this case, and judges can refuse to hear certain pieces, you know, of whatever comes before them, is this over? You can't appeal a judge
who
doesn't.
Well, you know, Phil, here's the deal. You can always call in and ask the questions yourself.
I'm not your patsy. I was just trying to be journalistic. You're right.
Trying to be journalistic. Why don't you just call in?
I will next time. But that's my point, is if this is not heard by the judge and the August 2nd meeting goes ahead and the results of that meeting are ratified by the National Party.
Ratified by the National Party. You heard Chairman Priebus called in and congratulated Barry. So if that was the issue, what problem did he have? Oh, everybody else called in and said, no, Barry's not our guy anymore.
Didn't Chairman Priebus call in 2 years ago?
He called in after, if you listened to that interview, did you listen to the interview with Barry?
I've listened to many of them.
No. You didn't listen to the interview with Barry. Chairman Priebus called in and said, hey, congratulations, and then he did a flip-flop.
Reince called in that morning.
He called in when Barry was reelected. Didn't call in to us.
I see.
He's got an open invitation. Well, but unlike the other elected officials, we remember our friends, and Barry is my friend.
That's fantastic, and I applaud you for having a good friend.
And we have offered the other side a chance to come on, and they're too busy.
When there's a new chairman elected, I'm sure he'll come on your show.
But if Barry's reelected?
Then Barry will come back on the show.
All right, let's go to Tea Party Bob for Phil Hardy at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Tea Party Bob.
Oh, boy, it's Phil again. Establishment, establishment, establishment. Phil, when are you ever going to get it? You guys made the rules. You put the rules together, but you have no problem breaking them.
Oh, Bob, it's such a pleasure.
Well, just address his situation, because I hear something from you, and then I hear something from Tea Party Bob. He says that you broke the rules.
Now, hang on a second. I don't know which rules and which portion you're talking about, Bob, but we all know that Cornell Razor, who was the parliamentarian of choice for the other side, has said that he made a mistake in what people think they voted for at the end of the convention. So the rules were not broken. And this is the way things are going to go down on the 2nd. And by the way, Barry Peterson could be reelected as chairman on the 2nd. I don't think it's going to happen, but he could be. So what would happen if he was?
Well, let's hear from Bob's side of the story.
You know, I have to tell you, you guys are always crying over spilt milk. You had plenty of chance to try and iron all of these things out. They all decided not to do that. The governor put a lot of money into getting committeemen elected. They won the election. They won 30 seats in Ada County. And what did they do? Instead of trying to hand out an olive branch, they hand out a hot potato. They've been doing this for years. When are they going to stop doing this?
Bob, you know, that's a matter of opinion on how you want to handle something after an election takes place.
No, it's not a matter of opinion. This is a matter of protocol. If you want a party to be united, then you need people to reach across the aisle. And certainly, all they've done is put a brick wall between the two aisles.
Bob, I'm not sure how long you've been involved in this battle.
I've been involved in politics since I was 30 years old back in New York and New Jersey.
I believe you, and I can appreciate the way that you understand how we did our bare knuckle politics back east. But this is a battle that's been going on since 2008. There's been a constant erosion in And I'll be honest with you, the establishment, or whatever you want to call it, the mainstream section of the party, allowed itself to fall into disrepair. It really wasn't very vital. And slowly but slowly, there were elements that were taking over the party. Well, now it's the shoe's on the other foot. The more mainstream elements of our party are now very active. They're very organized. And we're trying to do what we think is best. Now, and let me be clear. There are many situations where we agree with the other factions of the party.
And why are you trying to wipe them out, Phil? Why are you trying to wipe them out, Phil?
You're trying to do what we think is best. Why don't we do what everybody thinks is best?
Yeah, Phil.
You guys always want to be up at the top.
Yep.
What is this high-order pecking order that you have?
It's not a higher-order pecking order. It's, you know, the party is a party of ideas, but some of the ideas that the party has been espousing for the last 6 or 7 years.
Say no to the health exchange?
How about, like, repeal of the 17th Amendment?
Say no to the health exchange?
These things are...
You were for it before you were against it.
How about Common Core?
Yeah.
Common Core, look, I'm tending to agree with you guys. This is one of those moments when I think we can agree.
Nobody's reaching across the aisle, my friend.
Because people are a little...
they are with the...
I'm trying to find a word that I can use on the radio.
The iron fist is what they're reaching across with.
But that is almost... It's a natural... The pendulum may have swung far in the other way. But once this is over on the 2nd, we can get back down to work and working together.
Do you really believe that?
I hope to believe that.
Do you really believe that they're going to take that hot potato, put it on a dinner plate, and extend an olive branch to the conservatives? Do you really believe that in your heart?
Well, I'll tell you, if you saw the Red Wedding in Game of Thrones, that's what's going to happen. Tea Party Bob, thank you for the call. To Kevin in Canyon County at 580KIDO for Phil Hardy.
Hey, Phil, you know, you say the pendulum has swung the other way on this on the establishment, has got their stuff together. Remember me, the guy who's been a Republican all my life, and I said that... I may vote for the Democrat for governor this time just because that's how pissed off I am at this establishment party, Butch Otter and the likes of you. You spend more time attacking the Republican Party than you do the Democrat Party or changing this country for the better. I mean, you guys ought to be ashamed. I hear you on here, and I never call in. I get so riled up every time I hear you. You are the face of everything that's wrong in this country.
Oh, now that is harsh.
Well, maybe you ought to start listening to your own playback of your own audio, listen to what people say. You don't hear what the party says anymore, what the people say. And we are the party, not you guys. The reason that you think you're winning is because we're starting to go completely away from you. We're leaving the party.
Well, I don't want to see anybody or hear anybody leave the party. I think that we can work together because there are more issues that we agree with than we disagree with. And I will say that the longer this drags on, the worse it is for our party. It's the worse it is for almost everybody who's running as a Republican. And that's one of the reasons why I'm very discouraged that there is this lawsuit. And I really do hope that a judge refuses to hear it, because if this drags on into September or even later, then it's bad news for all of us. And I think that by then, and by the way, you cut me off before Kevin, not you, Kevin, is that I still think that Russ Fulcher may end up being the chairman of the party. I think that that might be something that ends up happening.
I don't know if that's a good thing. Kevin, thank you for the
call. In your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station. Up all night. Staying up all
night. The day of the convention on June 14th, as I was headed home, I got a call from Reince Priebus, the national chairman, congratulating me on being the state chairman again.
Told you, Phil Hardy. The chairman endorses Barry Peterson.
I think that that's an interesting.
Going to deny it? Like when the governor said the congressman didn't call him, and you said, "Well, allegedly." I go, "No, that's a primary source."
Well, I could be like one of the Ukrainian rebels and say that was a manipulated tape. I think that.
Let's go to Pat for Phil Hardy at 580KIDO. Hello, Pat.
Oh, good morning. Got the hair on the back of my neck standing up again.
That's that Phil.
Well.
I'm 77. I have been a Republican for years and years and years. I don't get why the Republicans are so deaf to the grassroots, why they sit on their hands and they are living up the Republican, a lot of people's views of the Republican Party that's a bunch of old white guys that don't pay any attention to anything else. They go after the Tea Party. They go after anybody that doesn't live up to what they see as being done. And also, it's like in the National Party. This Congress has sat on their hands and let Obama play king for the entire time he's been in there. You know, get off your butts and do something. Listen to people. Listen to the grassroots. I am about to change my registration to independent. I know that'll take me out of the primaries, but I don't care. I am so fed up with listening to this nanner, nanner, nanner about what the Republican Party is going to do, and they do nothing.
Well, let's let they Phil Hardy address that, Pat. Thank you.
And, you know, Pat, thanks for the call, but I appreciate what you're saying. But the problem is that we have divided government right now, and the House of Representatives can pass any number of repeals of Obamacare or any other measure, and the Senate refuses to hear them. Harry Reid is the real problem here, even worse than Barack Obama sometimes. And until the November election happens and we can take back the Senate, which I really do think is going to happen this time, we're going to have a few more months of the same. But, you know, let me be clear. There are many people on the so-called Tea Party side of the aisle in Idaho and even nationally that I have a lot of respect for. You know, Justin Amash and a few of those guys that do hang around with Raul Labrador. I think that there's a lot of good things that they bring to the party. And that is here in Idaho as well. But there are certain things that we need to stop, you know, beating people over the head with. And there are a lot of people who are more on the Tea Party side who have now moved back over to where the mainstream is because some of these ideas just aren't going to get any traction. You know, the idea of repealing the 17th Amendment
is ridiculous.
The idea of putting Idaho back on the gold standard,
things like that is never going to happen.
We are bothering ourselves arguing about things like the gold standard and the 17th Amendment, and that is a waste of time, and it turns people off. They lied to the American public. You know, I still think that there's room to discuss things like this.
You're not going to address it.
I think we can address things like that, but until we get rid of the things like bringing back the gold standard, which is just ludicrous.
You're not going to address it.
I think we can address
it. You're not going to address it.
The healthcare exchange is probably here to stay.
You heard it here first, folks. Phil Hardy, Strategies 360. We always appreciate it. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, Kevin.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
On Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
Men, 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 men.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. It is time for the Manly Man segment. Dave Burnett with us as we start your day with all sorts of action, adventure, excitement. And, of course, not long before the Big and Rich show coming to town. Are you excited about that, Dave?
Gosh, that's way off. That's way off in the future.
Well, not so much.
Yeah, I've got other things. You had the Balloon Classic before that.
Yeah, I wasn't asking about the Balloon Classic. Are you excited about Big and Rich?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing them.
Well, good.
I'm just saying there's a lot of stuff before that. You got the fair.
That's
going to be going on.
Really, what is the fair?
You got horse racing season. It's in full swing. That's going on. You got baseball season. You got the Hawks.
Didn't know our company was sponsoring any of those things.
You bet. We are involved in
with the horse racing.
You bet. There's nothing that happens in this community that we don't have our finger on the pulse of it.
Right. So let's get back to the Big and Rich show.
All right.
You're just not excited about it? You're kind of like, you know, the fair compared to Big and Rich? The horse racing compared to Big and Rich?
So what, I'm not allowed to have an opinion?
No, I was asking you.
What am I, Tony Dungy? I can't have an opinion?
Exactly. So let me, again, try and refocus you once again. I think it's a big deal that Big and Rich is coming here, much more than the ordinary stuff that we have here all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be fun. It'll be good.
I just don't think you believe it.
that I don't believe it?
I mean, you know, here, ask me about Big and Rich. I'll give you
okay,
the
you
answer.
give me the way my opinion should be. Okay, what do you think? Big and Rich show coming up, Kev?
It's not really about your opinion. It's about
the
show.
That's what all this is about.
Well, I think it's awesome that Big and Rich are coming here. Mm-hmm. It's marvelous that our company is putting this together. We have very affordable tickets at $15 a piece. I challenge anybody to come up with a show where you're going to have that type of quality at the Idaho Center for only $15. And it's a great way to really kick off the school year. That's how I view Big and Rich. I think it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be outstanding. And I can't wait to hear them play a few of my favorite songs. What are they? Well, thank you, Dave, for asking.
What are they, Kev?
I would say...
No, really.
You know, I would have to say Big Time would have to be one of my favorite songs from Big and Rich. And there are a few others. But, you know, I think they put on a great live show.
They are a party band.
Yeah. And, you know, they're bringing a lot of people in from Nashville. I mean, I've seen them a few times in person, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And I think any time that you can attract big-name national acts, I think that's great.
Yeah. It'll be a fun time. It will. I love outdoor shows. I think I like them more than indoor shows. But, yeah.
Hmm.
What?
Nothing.
So that was your excitement for it? Do you like Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy?
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, that's the theme of this program. But one of the reasons why we did that was from our Nashville days when, John Rich used to listen to this show. So, in fact, when I got fired in Nashville, I still have the email from a John Rich. And if the powers that be that promised an interview would ever set that up, I'm going to tell you, I will ask him about that. And I did get invited to a couple of showcases, and not that I'm anything, because I'm not. And I went over to Warner Brothers a few times and was really, this was before The Celebrity Apprentice, this was before everything else, and really was trying to foster a relationship with, like a lot of things in life, once that you have your plans and then you have... other people's plans going in different directions without you. So,
well, for you to say, though, you're being very humble for you to say you were invited to showcases. That means right there, big deal.
Well, you know, and here's the deal. I really wanted to learn, and I wanted to do something different in talk radio. And it's funny because everybody talks about that, but I really wanted to do what we're doing here, and that is to be, you know, people talk about right and left, and you do cover those issues, and you're right. Tony Dungy is a big story. You're right, you know, these other things are very good. But to really merge that type of conservative country culture that they talk about in their songs and really get those folks on. I mean, the Oak Ridge Boys are spoiled because they go on Phil Valentine's show all the time. But really to be kind of the voice of the next generation of country stars before, and this was, what, 6-7 years ago before it became big again. But that's a dream I had. So, yeah, I guess I'm a little biased about Big and Rich, and I've uber-focused on that. You're right. The Balloon Fest is an incredible event. You're right. The fairs are wonderful if you like the cotton candy and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm blind. I'm biased, I guess I would say. I've seen them, and I almost ran over Two-Foot Fred, literally.
Think Two-Foot Fred will be with them?
From what I hear, he is.
That's fantastic.
Cowboy Troy as well. And here's another thing, and you love sports, you cover sports, you have a great history in country music, certainly in this area. You've been to Memphis, they know who you are. You've been to Nashville, you've talked to these folks, you know Reba, you've done things, and you don't like to talk about it, but I think people should know your heritage and your history. And it's just, kind of neat when you have these folks that come here, and country folks, again, Dave Burnett, as you know better than anybody else, they actually speak to you, not at you. They appreciate radio.
Yeah, they got it. Somewhere they got it really figured out. There was that era of country artists that had it figured out, from the old school country artist to the what at that time was a new school artist, to figure out, you know what, radio is important. Keeping touch with the listeners, important. And for the most part, and I can name a handful that didn't, at least when I was there, but for the most part, all of them very open and realizing their roots, that they're just, you know, I mean, it was always something that Garth Brooks would say. There was a lot of people with more talent than he had, but he was on the right corner when the bus stopped, and he's very aware of it. On the bus and took off.
Some of us are on the wrong corner when the bus stopped.
We're on the wrong side of the street going, hey, over here. Oh, bus left me. Darn yes, it.
Or the bus ran over me.
You know what I love, though, about Big and Rich, though? Seriously?
Yes. I think I know the song you already
did. You think you do know the song?
Yes.
It has to be this guy. The fact that it reminds me of college football, for crying out loud.
Right.
Saturday mornings, getting ready for football. Mm-hmm. Gotta love it.
Well, we're coming to your city.
And how funny it is that College Game Day tied into this and has been so successful with it. I mean, I don't think Big and Rich can play this song without people thinking about college football now.
Yeah, and I just like the lyrics of the actual song because, you know, they talk about going to Chippewa
mm-hmm.
in Buffalo, and that's a big party place in Buffalo, and getting stuck in Greenville and going to Canton, Ohio, which is where Marilyn Manson's from. A lot of inside stuff. I was very shocked when they got rid of Bubba Sparks' song because I really like that one. Big and Rich took it to a new level, but it's kind of strange how every year they kind of change it. Well, it's Desmond, Aaron, Timmy, Billy, Willie, and Kurt. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. They go back in and re-record the thing.
And everybody wants to know if their team made the cut.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you make the cut, you're on for the whole season.
Right. And they always go, you know, Roll Tide down to Notre Dame, blah, 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 blah. It's They're creative guys. John Rich, a lot of people don't know this, but he's written so many songs in Nashville. And that's, I really came to figure the guy out. I like their music, and I was talking to somebody one day on Music Row, and they said, that's not a big deal. Music Row is down there. And, you know, you see a lot of people that, you know, they're working their regular jobs, but they have writing deals. They said, look, John Rich owns this town. I go, really? Big and Rich that big? He goes, no. He writes all the songs.
Yeah, and there's big money in it.
And I thought to myself, could you imagine being a performer and then being a writer and being that passionate? And we saw a little of that in Celebrity Apprentice, just how focused he was and just how intense he was. And here's a guy, and Big Kenny, I guess, is like the exact opposite. I'm Big Kenny. And, of course, the 8th of November, and I don't know, you're familiar with GAC, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that they actually went to Vietnam with that guy from the 8th of November, Big Kenny and John Rich, and they did a big special there. And I said, man, GAC must have a good budget for that.
Yeah, well, you know, like bigger than ours.
Well, look, besides that, at 580 KIDO, it's 548. Which topic do you want to talk about, the Add the Words or the Tony Dungy?
We're kind of on a sports theme, and Tony Dungy in hot water for comments that he made, and it just makes me scratch my head. You know, I have to admit, it makes me laugh. It makes me laugh of how stupid we have become as a nation. Tony Dungy, if you don't know, first black coach to win a Super Bowl.
He wasn't the first black coach, though, was he?
To win the Super Bowl, I think he is.
Well, no, I know. I
oh, no, no, not the first
one,
period.
It was Art Shell, right?
Yeah, but he was the first one to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, because it was funny because somebody goes, he's the first black coach. I go, I don't know, but you're right about the Super Bowl, yeah.
But, was Art Shell the first? I think Art Shell was the first with the Raiders.
With the Raiders, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, I'm now that you've mentioned it, I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
Thinking of Al Davis went out on the limb and hired an African-American as a coach. But Tony Dungy, great success, and made a comment, and it all comes down, again, to you have to be careful in what you say.
But do you really? Was his comment that out of line? I mean, haven't we gone too far that, I mean, it's totally stupid and ridiculous to be ripping this guy?
Yes. Well, you know, in my opinion, yes, absolutely. But will people make hay over it? Will people try to get rid of Tony Dungy now? Oh, absolutely they will. There will be those, you know, as you like to say, haters who are going to be
after
him.
Wait a minute. No, you call me a hater. You like to say haters.
No, you do. You refer to yourself as a hater, Kevin.
Because you've branded me that well that I just accept it now.
I am but a lover of people.
So can you tell people what they said if they haven't heard it?
Oh, Tony Dungy?
Mm-hmm.
I'm rapidly trying to get his exact quote because I don't want to misquote him. So I'm looking here online, and you know my computer.
Oh, yeah.
It is the fastest Commodore 64 cassette drive that there is out there. It all has to do with whether you would want a gay player on your staff or you know, on your roster or not, as St. Louis, of course, does have. He said he would not. His quote is, I wouldn't have taken Michael Sam in the NFL draft And I don't get the last of the quote. Just for the fact that he doesn't want to deal with everything that is around it.
Right. And there's going to be trouble. There always is.
And I will say this already. St. Louis has already had issues with Michael Sam for the fact that he wanted to do a reality show about his time in camp. And the St. Louis Rams went, no, you're not. No, you're not. You are a rookie coming in here. You are going to try to make the team. That's all you're doing.
Here's the point. Here's the point. People say it's private and all this. Well, if it's private, then why did he come out?
Well, I don't think it's private.
Well, no, this was one of the arguments I heard last night.
Oh, was it?
And between that and, you know, Tony Dungy, whether you like him or not, good Christian man, good wholesome values. Then people ripping him, you know, just short of calling him a homophobe for saying it's really not worth the circus. Now, maybe if Michael Sam were the number one pick in the draft, maybe if he were Andrew Luck, maybe it's worth the circus. But Michael Sam is a marginal player at best.
Who may not make an NFL roster.
Right.
Well, of course, if St. Louis cuts him, they are homophobes.
Exactly.
So they have put themselves in a situation. They have put themselves in a no-win situation. If he's no good, they got to keep
point.
Him.
Yeah.
You know, if he's now, if he's good and can play the game, then let him play the game. Strap it on. Let's do it. But, yeah, and Tony Dungy, I mean, St. Louis is already dealing with the circus around it. Every press conference it's brought up. And that becomes a distraction. You know, whether somebody is the first of anything, it's going to be a distraction. Now, what I find fascinating is Tony Dungy had an opinion. You can disagree with his opinion. You can feel that he's a homophobe. But he's being taken to task for having an opinion.
I still don't think, I still don't see where it's so out of bounds. Look, I wouldn't have done it. It's not worth the circus that follows it. And there are going to be issues. There always are. When you're dealing with men, when you're dealing with competition, you know, we try and make the that politically correct and sanitize it. Look, there's a lot of things that go on in the NFL that we don't know about.
Mm-hmm. Oh, are you kidding? There's a whole lot. I mean, the whole Michael Sam story, I happen to know the father of a player from Missouri who played on the team with Michael Sam, and he said that, well, it's no secret, it's Jeffy from the Glenn Beck Show. His son played for Missouri and played with and was a friend of Michael Sam and said everyone on the team knew it. It was no secret. It was never a secret. It was out in the open. So, you know, somehow it became a big secret and it had to be revealed. It was no secret to the members of the press at that college nor to the team, but for some reason, they had to make a big deal out of it. And Tony Dungy said,
Michael Sam made a big deal out of it.
Yeah, Tony Dungy said, you know, I wouldn't want the circus with it. And God forbid that he has his own opinion on it. He's not allowed to.
And just like you and Big and Rich.
I know. You won't let me have my own opinion on it. I kind of feel like Tony Dungy without the ring and without the trophy. Kevin, we got to do traffic.
The Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580 KIDO. Idaho's place to talk.
558, Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's get you to traffic up. Just the issue of accountability and responsibility. We talked a little bit about this yesterday, and it is one of my favorite quotes now, and it's from our friend Chris Troupas. When we're talking about the society that we're living in today, see if you agree.
Go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country.
Yeah, is that a dangerous precedent that we're seeing? Also, the add the words for folks were in court. We'll find out what happened, but
go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country.
Might be a little difficult to do that this early in the morning. Thank you all for joining us. Stay with us. We're just getting started.
Serving Emmett.